Turn with me to the Bible, Luke's Gospel in chapter 2, and I'll be reading from verses 1 to 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So that it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things that were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Well, today is Christmas Day. We don't need reminding that, but as it is Christmas Day, we come to our final message on a three-part expository look at the Christmas story through the eyes of Dr. Luke. And so far, we have focused our attention on the announcement of the birth of Jesus by the angel Gabriel and the revolutionary song of Mary about what her baby would grow up to be and to do. We now come to the birth itself and the circumstances that surround that birth. But before we do that, we need to look briefly at the passage of Scripture that comes between Mary's song and the account of the birth of Jesus. Now Luke, as a doctor, felt that it was important to put alongside the birth of Jesus with the birth of another important baby. And that baby was the son of Elizabeth, Mary's relative, and her husband Zacharias. And you'll remember that Elizabeth and Zacharias had been praying to have a son all of their lives, but it didn't happen. However, while Zacharias was burning incense in the temple, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, the angel Gabriel announced to him that his wife was going to have a son, and he was going to be great in God's eyes, and he would be the forerunner to Jesus, preparing the way for him. Zacharias didn't really believe the angel and wanted some evidence. And the angel said, "Well, if you want evidence, I'm going to strike you dumb until the child is born." And he was struck dumb. Now, in the Jewish custom, babies were circumcised after 8 days, and it was at that time that babies were given their names. Now, normally, the child would have been called after his father's name, Zacharias. However, his mother insisted that the baby should be called John, and the father of the child, who was still dumb, wrote the name John on a tablet to confirm his name. And immediately his mouth opened, he was no longer dumb, and he could speak. And everybody was amazed at this event, and they felt that the child who was called John was going to be a special person in God's eyes. And Zechariah burst out into praise, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied, and he spoke concerning this child. If you have your Bible, what he said was in verse 76 to 79. And he foretold three main things about this son. His son would be the greatest prophet, verse 76. He would prepare the way for Jesus. And thirdly, he would teach clearly about the way of salvation, which would be through the forgiveness of their sins. The salvation would give light to all those who sat in darkness and faced death. And Luke felt that it was important that the birth of Jesus should run parallel to the birth of John the Baptist. And one of the reasons for this is that there was a prophecy in the book of Isaiah over 800 years prior, chapter 40, verses 3 to 5, which fits very well into the ministry of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. So as we discovered at the beginning of our expository series on Luke, Luke wants to give us a complete account of the life of Jesus. He doesn't want us to miss anything out about the significance of the life of Jesus. So with this introduction in mind, we're able to approach the text concerning the birth of Jesus. And as we've read the text, there were three things that jumped out at me concerning the birth of Jesus. And first of all, in verses 1 to 7, the thing that was significant there was the place of the birth of Jesus. Now, Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth. I don't know if you've ever been to Nazareth. And Bethlehem was 100 kilometers away in the south of the country. Now, I've traveled by coach, and it's a pretty hair-raising journey. It takes several hours, and it's not particularly nice. So the 100 kilometers roughly between those two cities or two towns. Under normal circumstances, Jesus should have been born in Nazareth. However, God was working his purposes out through the life of his son. And about 750 years before this event, God spoke through his prophet Micah that the Jewish Messiah, the ruler of Israel, would be born in Bethlehem. So if Jesus was not born in Bethlehem, he would not be recognized as the ruler of Israel. So how was God going to arrange for a woman who was getting close to birth of her first baby to travel a long distance on a donkey to a town many miles away, over 100 kilometers away? It wasn't going to happen. How was God going to do it? Well, the simple answer is that God was going to use the most powerful man in the world at that time to arrange a census, and this involved everybody traveling to their hometown. Now, if it wasn't made law, I doubt whether Mary would have agreed this long-distance journey, coming very close to having her first baby. Now, this makes it very clear to me, and as we go through the whole of Scripture, very clear to me that God is in charge of world history. God is in charge of world history and not man. God is able to use the powers and the authorities of this world for his purposes without them even knowing it. That's an amazing thing. God is able to use the power and authority, the people in mighty power, in his hands without them even knowing it. And the birth of Jesus was a miracle birth, yes, but it was a miracle of God's hand that it took place where it did, in Bethlehem and not in Nazareth, where Mary and Joseph lived. So what's the application for us? Well, I want you all to be encouraged on this Christmas day, a day of celebration and rejoicing, that God is still working his purposes out in this world. Ultimately, in the big picture of world events lies a sovereign God who is preparing the stage for the second coming of Jesus Christ. As we celebrate the first coming of Jesus today, we need to answer the question, are we ready for the second coming of Jesus? You see, the only people who are going to delight in the second coming of Jesus are those who know and love him personally. Those people who have a personal relationship with Jesus will be delighted when he returns. Perhaps today you don't know why Christians celebrate at Christmas time. Briefly, it's because they know that their sins are forgiven, they have a peace with their Creator, and they're looking forward to a heavenly place when they die. It's a real hope, it's a real assurance that God gives all of his children in their heart. So if you're a Christian today, you will have that assurance in your heart, that one day when you die, you're going to be with Jesus. So if Jesus was to return next year, we would be delighted. But if you're not a Christian this morning, you can know that this Christmas. You can know your sins forgiven. You can have a joy in your heart. So the first is an encouragement, really, that God worked in world history to bring about the birth of his son in the exact place that he prophesied 750 years that it would happen. And if God is able to do that, God can do anything to bring about world events to fulfill the book of Revelation, which we're going through at the moment. We've had a break for Christmas, and bring back the second coming of Jesus. Secondly, in verses 8 to 14, we have the announcement of the birth. The birth of Jesus wasn't announced on Facebook or the Jewish Chronicle, surprise, surprise. It was announced by angel messengers who worked directly with God. The birth of Jesus was not announced to important religious leaders. It was actually announced to despised, lowly shepherds. You see, nobody liked the shepherds in those days because they didn't go to church. Well, although in those days they worshipped in the temple. And because they didn't go and worship in the temple, nobody liked them. They despised them. And yet, the shepherds were hard-working men who had a dangerous job to protect the sheep from wild animals. They also had to move them around to find fresh pasture every day. There was something about shepherds that God liked. They were honest, hard-working men, probably supplied all the lambs for the sacrifices in the temple in Jerusalem. What is important here is what the angel said to the shepherds. Three things. The angel said that he had an announcement of great joy, which was going to affect everybody in the world. Secondly, the angel announced that a baby was going to be born in Bethlehem, and this baby was the long-awaited Jewish Messiah who would act as a savior of the world. Quite a statement. Thirdly, the angel said that the shepherds needed to go directly where they would find a feed trough for animals, and the baby would be wrapped up in clothes and be in that place. So three big announcements. Now, I guess it was quite a thing for one person to suddenly appear and say to a group of shepherds all these things. However, it was probably what happened after this that convinced the shepherds that this baby was going to be somebody special. Because suddenly there appeared a multitude of heavenly beings praising God. I don't know how many there were, but thousands and thousands of heavenly beings praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Now this scene must have been quite dramatic. There was darkness on the hillside, and then suddenly there was a powerful light. Thousands of heavenly beings were seen, and the shepherds were seen by the shepherds praising God about the birth of a baby in the cattle feed trough down the road. Must have been absolutely amazing. And the angel and the heavenly beings knew about the worth of this baby. That is why they were all praising God. They knew when Jesus was in heaven. They would have known about his mission to this earth. They knew the Jesus that had left the glory of heaven to fulfill God's rescue plan for mankind. The heavenly hosts were excited about the mission of Jesus because they knew Jesus had come to bring salvation to lost sinners and to bring peace between God and mankind. There is something exciting when a person discovers the worth of Jesus for their own soul. There's something very exciting for that person. And Christmas Day is a wonderful day to discover the worth of Jesus for your own soul. Perhaps today you might be praising God for saving your soul. Well, let's just unpack the message of the angel for a moment. First of all, the angel said that he had a message of joy for all people. So that message is for us this morning. The Christian gospel is a message of joy, and it's for everybody here today. First of all, it's important that we understand the word joy. Happiness is not joy. Happiness depends upon our circumstances, but joy depends upon the condition of our heart and of our soul. Now, for most people, happiness depends upon outward things like money, a good home, a good health, family, friends, and all these outward things. And there's nothing wrong with having these things. However, if you take away your health, if you take away your money, your job, your home, your family, probably you'll be unhappy. This is why the angel uses the word joy. Because joy is not about these other things. Joy is about the condition of your heart. And the angel was saying that the Savior Jesus was able to give people joy in their hearts. And this joy could not be affected by poverty, health, or family circumstances. And this joy would be everlasting and would never be removed. The angels were saying that the Savior Jesus was able to give people joy in their hearts, and this would not be affected by anything. The message of Christmas is about a Savior who can bring joy to your heart for everlasting. And the joy comes when you recognize your need for Jesus and trust him to forgive you. Well, over 40 years ago, I discovered this joy for myself. And that joy is still in my heart. And my prayer is that you might know the joy of your sins forgiven and a joy that is satisfied with Jesus only. If you only have Jesus this Christmas, you will have joy. Well, the second thing that the angel announced is that this baby was going to grow up and be a Savior and Christ the Lord, is what Luke says. Well, what does this mean? Well, first of all, a Savior is somebody who has come to save. You might ask the question this morning, why do I need saving? And what do I need to be saved from? Well, to put it very simply, the Bible teaches that the God of the Bible who created us for a personal relationship is 100% holy. He is a holy God. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God, brought sin into the lives of all human beings, and the punishment for that disobedience would be death. It says in Romans 5, verse 12 in the New Living Translation, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everybody sinned. So we need to be saved from God's wrath upon us and eternal death. Jesus came to take the punishment for our sin upon himself. He was our substitute sacrifice. He came to be a Savior so that we would not be punished by God, but live with him in heaven forever. Not with our present bodies, but with a special resurrected body that's fit for eternity. So there's no sin in heaven, and if we're hoping to go there one day, we need a savior, someone to rescue us from the punishment of our sin. The problem is that not many people today recognize their predicament. They feel they don't need a savior. They don't want anyone to rescue them. They're fine as they are. But I hope that this Christmas you might realize that you need a savior. And that savior is Jesus Christ, who is alive today and who loves you and who died on a cross for your sin. We come to the third point in verses 15 to 20, and that is the evidence of the birth of Jesus. It was such a dramatic event for the shepherds to experience that they wanted to check it out for themselves. Was there really an important baby born in a cattle trough, wrapped up in clothes? Well, there was only one way to find out. Go into the town and check it out. They must have left somebody in charge of the sheep on the hillside. Perhaps two of the men went into Bethlehem to find out if this supernatural experience was actually real. Well, the text tells us that it was a real experience. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger, a cattle trough. After this, the shepherds were so excited about everything they'd seen and heard, they couldn't keep it to themselves. We're told that before they returned to the hillside to care for the sheep, that they made the incident widely known in the area. There was enough evidence for the shepherds to be convinced that the baby Jesus had come from heaven on a special mission. He had come to be the savior of the world. Now, not many people know, but there is more historical evidence for the life of Jesus here on this earth than for any other historical event in world history at this time. You see, reliable history is accredited through historical documents as near to the event as possible. So there is more historical documents to prove the life and death of Jesus than anything else. So if you believe any history book, you have to believe the New Testament. There is so much evidence concerning the life of Jesus that it's never been in dispute that a man called Jesus, claiming to be God, lived in Israel, produced many miracles to authenticate his claims. There is historical evidence that he was crucified on a cruel cross, that he rose from the dead and appeared to many people individually, and 500 people at one time. The question I need to ask you today is, do you believe in this historical Jesus? Do you believe that he's able to rescue you from God's wrath and give you eternal salvation when you die? If you do believe, then you need to take a step of faith that will change your life for all eternity. The shepherds believed and they went home praising God. And you too can do the same if you believe in your heart that Jesus died for your personal sin. Christmas Day is a day of celebration for a Savior who left the glory of heaven to come to this sin-sick world for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to rescue us from God's wrath when we die. So if you want to be rescued today, you can be, but the choice is yours. And there are people today who will pray for you and support you as you take a step of faith to put your faith and trust in Jesus personally.